to be on the inside? We've got you covered. It's the Binsiders. Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims calling out the fans for Sunday's home opener.
Bring back that true home field advantage. And trust me, as players, we do feel that energy, and it does help us at key times. Whether it's defense and you're trying to make that fourth to goal stand, you need that crowd to be loud. Whether it's us and we need to be quiet, hey, we need the 12th man down here in South Florida.
Rounding out the crew, it's Twan Russell, who credits his NFL career to a movie.
When I was a kid, I was Rudy. 5 years old, I wasn't supposed to be playing football because I was too young. They used to pound me into the ground, beat the crap out of me, and it gave me motivation. It, you know, my heart got bigger. And when I saw the movie, I said, I got a chance.
Also, in the comments center, chatting with the fans, it's Tristan, who's not your ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill Jones.
Tristan Jones, as I've been chatting with everybody online Jones. Throughout the afternoon.
Are you sure
afternoon.
You want to do that? It's Jones, the end of the day.
Jones. Tristan Jones.
It's the Binsiders.
Not only that. But you know who's going to join us live in studio in about a half hour thereabouts, maybe 40 minutes?
Surprise us, who?
Rashad Jones.
Oh.
The Dolphins
safety.
Another
Jones.
It'll be Rashad Jones with Tristan Jones.
Hi, Mr. Jones.
Everyone's just trying to keep up with the Joneses.
That's it. A lot of talk about the Falcons wide receiver, Julio Jones.
Me and Mr. Jones.
That's it. Keith is here. Twan Russell is here. We're going to have some fun on this Wednesday. The Dolphins are still practicing. They got this new schedule this year on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, a late afternoon practice, very late on Wednesday, so they're still out on the practice field, and we'll try and bring you some live coverage of the post-practice press conferences featuring both Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill. Those will be taking place outside here at the Doctors Hospital training facility. We'll check in with those guys, and as I mentioned, Rashad Jones going to swing by as well. We're getting ready. Sunday's going to be here before you know it, the first home game of 2013, and how about we give away a pair of tickets as well? We'll give away a pair of tickets. This is not an easy ticket to get. There are some tickets available at Dolphins.com, but not many, and the place is going to be very, very full on Sunday, which is fun and which is exciting and which, as you are alluding to, will mean it will be loud on Sunday for the Dolphins and the Falcons.
We're excited about that. You know, when you're a football player and you step out and you see those people in the stands, there's something that just – it's just something that it just creates an atmosphere to be able to play well. And that's it's going to be exciting. The home opener, we're expecting, you know, close to 65,000 people already. And we still have tickets out there. So get out there. We need the other 7,000 people to join us so we can pack it real loud and make a lot of noise when Atlanta has the ball.
Twan, don't walk. Run to the ticket booth. This is going to be an incredible afternoon. The home opener, we're 2-0. Atlanta is hurting right now. So, yeah. I mean, it's primed. And I know it's early, it's only Wednesday, but I'm very excited about the opportunity the Dolphins have in front of them. And you're right, we need you guys. We need the crowd out there. We need you loud. We need to reestablish home field advantage. Remember what it was like when we played?
Man.
And we went into Sun Life Stadium. We knew we had the crowd behind us. We knew it was going to be loud and hot and tough on the opponent. We need to make that a reality again on a team that's used to playing in a dome where the conditions are controlled by a thermostat. No,
Doom.
Let's turn up the heat and make it hot and loud on the Atlanta Falcons.
We know the sun's showing up.
Yeah, it is. let me hit something on that before anybody else says it. By the way, you can use the hashtag on Twitter, I'm there, to sort of say that you're going to be at the game. And then you go to dolphins.com/I'm there, and it's cool. They got like the whole rundown of all the people who have tweeted it.
Ah,
it's a pretty cool thing.
I like
check
that.
It out at dolphins.com/I'm there. But you mentioned the weather and you mentioned the heat, and I want to jump in on something before I hear it from one person, whether it's a text message at 347-347 or whether it's a phone call at 1-855-GO-FINS, or whether it is a live chat comment with Tristan Jones. We'll get to her in a moment. I don't want to hear anybody say it's not going to be hot like a 1 o'clock start. Forget if you're saying that, you have never been here before. I don't think any local person will tell you, "Hey, it's not that hot at 4:05 in September." It will be hot, and more so than that, it will be very, very, very humid at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Don't tell me the Dolphins will not have a weather advantage because the game is at 4 instead of 1. Will it be more comfortable in the stands? Yeah, probably, because the sun's going to be a little bit lower in the sky and you get a little more cover. But for the players, that humidity is still going to be there. It's been raining all week. If it rains earlier in the day, then you get that moisture coming up into the air. That makes it miserably humid. it will still be very hot, and the Dolphins still will have a weather advantage over the dome team, the Atlanta Falcons. Just want to make sure we get that out of the way, because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. I haven't even looked at the chat yet, but I know there's some guy sitting in New York, and he doesn't understand.
Kansas City, actually.
Thank you.
Yep.
It is still brutally hot and brutally humid down here. At 4:05 in September.
If Sun Life Stadium had a nickname, it would be the Skillet, because it is hot. I'm being real. It's hot. I don't care if even at 8 o'clock, even those night games, Keith. I mean, it's humid.
Exactly.
It's muggy. You're sweating. You know, the sun is just another piece of the pie. But I mean, it does not matter what time you play. These guys are not used to it. They're coming from Atlanta. I played in Atlanta. Let me tell you, it's cool up there at this time. It's starting to cool off. It's not very hot. They're going to walk into the situation. They're going to be miserable.
All right, so there you go. That's how that sets up. I don't want to talk about that anymore, but we will give away a pair of tickets in the second hour of the show. We said you could text 347-347, call 1-855-GO-FINS, and of course, you can go online to dolphins.com. The guy in Kansas City that doesn't know much about weather in South Florida, but that's okay. He's in Kansas City. Tristan is hanging out with everybody in the Metro PCS Comment Center.
Yeah, that's okay, because you cleared it up, and we can move on to what these guys have been wanting to talk about for the past 2 days now, the Falcons.
There you go.
We've kind of put it on hold for them because, you know, we want to save the excitement from now on, and they're ready.
We can absolutely turn our attention to Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, no Steven Jackson.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yes, Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Fame tight end. He'll certainly be a part of this one. He's gotten off to a slow start. Roddy White has gotten off to a slow start. Steven Jackson not playing. Their offensive line struggling. I mean, you put all those things together, you say, okay. You know, I kind of like the way this thing is going. The Dolphins are a team trending upwards, a team people are very excited about. And a couple of reasons why is the amount of positives they've gotten out of their playmakers. And we talked about this on the show yesterday. You've got guys like Mike Wallace and Philip Wheeler and Brent Grimes and Danelle Ellerbe. They're not just good, solid players. They're playmakers, and they're making big plays. And that was reflected today as the NFL announced the offensive and defensive players of the week in the two conferences. Now, Philip Rivers won AFC Offensive Player of the Week, but both Ryan Tannehill and Mike Wallace were finalists. Think about that. The Dolphins quarterback and the Dolphins star wide receiver Mike Wallace were both finalists for that. Mario Williams had, I think, a 4.5 sack day for the Bills on Sunday. So he wins AFC Defensive Player of the Week, but Philip Wheeler was a finalist. And so, okay, all of a sudden, some of the recognition starting to come in addition to those victories, and very, very good. Now, we were just talking about the Falcons, and I said all the issues that they're having and the injuries and some of the struggles and all that stuff. And the Bruce in Arkansas, he goes, "I'm not drinking the injury Kool-Aid, Jesse. They are still dangerous." Well, there's no doubt about that. I don't want anybody thinking that the Falcons are not a dangerous team. They are a very good team. But the facts remain. Sean Weatherspoon is a starter. He's out for the season. Croy Bierman is a starter and a very versatile piece on their defense. He is out. And you look at Steven Jackson, that's their starting running back. He's out. They are hurting, and it is absolutely a legitimate thing to talk about, because if the Dolphins were in this situation, I promise you, the Bruce and everybody else, you'd be freaking out a little bit right
panicking.
Now. Yeah.
It's a situation where Atlanta, they're talking about the next man up. You mentioned Biederman, their defensive end. He's a guy that's an effort guy, not a huge sack guy. He might have 4 or 5, but he plays with a ton of effort. In fact, the last time the Dolphins played, I think he had 2 sacks against the Miami Dolphins when they beat us in 2009. But I think the team is got to go through a tough part. I mean, they're a team that was 10 yards away from a Super Bowl last year. It was Super Bowl or bust for this Atlanta Falcons team. They're coming into Sun Life 1-1. A must win for them, but they're almost coming in with their hand tied behind their back a little bit. Now, I expect their backups to step up and play well, but when you lose a Steven Jackson, a guy who you brought over from the Rams who was going to be the focal point of your rushing game and a dimension to your rushing attack that you didn't have. We have their starting right tackle from last year, Claypool, down here doing a good job for us instead of up in Atlanta. They've got some issues. They're reeling a little bit. Guys injured, and I think it's a prime opportunity for the Dolphins not only to measure themselves against a team that had arguably the best record in the NFL last year, but a team that was supposed to be Super Bowl bound. We're at home I think things are setting up perfectly for the Miami Dolphins.
There you go. All right, we'll step aside in just a moment. Reminder, though, we got a big show coming up for you today. We got the Locker Room Blitz coming up next. We'll hear from Mike Wallace, Jared Odrick, and Mike Pouncey. As we mentioned earlier, press conferences with Ryan Tannehill and Joe Philbin, and Rashad Jones coming up in studio as well. Create memories with your family that'll last a lifetime at the home opener on Sunday. The kids' kickoff is all about families, so all kids 15 and under get $15 tickets plus a free Dolphins fat head. Visit Dolphins.com to get your tickets today. We'll take a two-minute break when we come back. Little Locker Room Blitz. We'll hear from Wallace, Odrick, and Pouncey. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the show. Former Dolphins Keith Sims and Twan Russell are here today. Got a text at 347-347. As we were just discussing the Falcons' injury situations, he says, hey, they didn't have Steven Jackson last year and they went far. I'm more worried about the passing game they have. Well, there's injuries there as well.
But they had Michael Turner.
Well, they did, who nobody has right now, which is a little bit surprising. Yeah. But he had a nice year last year. Jason Snelling, Jaquizz Rodgers, those will be the guys that carry the load. Although, as he's alluding to, they're going to throw a lot more than they're going to pass if things go the way most people would expect them to. Julio Jones is very, very scary. He is very, very dangerous, very good, very fast, and to me, among the top wide receivers in the National Football League. Roddy White, he's dinged up. He's got a high ankle sprain that's really limited. I think he only has 5 catches in the first 2 games. And Tony Gonzalez a little bit dinged up also, and he hasn't really gotten going. And of course, their offensive line, I mean, you talk to people in Atlanta, they'll tell you it's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And I heard one person in the last couple of days say they might have the worst left-tackle-right tackle combination in the NFL. In the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all part of the passing game. And so if you get Cam Wake and whoever else coming at Matt Ryan, and he doesn't have a lot of time back there, well, that makes it tougher for Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, or anybody else to have an impact on the game. But, yep, no doubt about it. Very, very good offense and a very, very dangerous team and a big test, and it's going to be fun on Sunday at Sun Life Stadium. I'm fired up about it. 347-347 if you want to text in. Let's do a little locker room blitz, though. We'll take you inside the Dolphin locker room to hear from some of the key players coming up in this week's game and really all season long. And we'll start with the center, Mike Pouncey. He's excited. Team's off to a 2-0 start, but he knows you still got to stay humble.
It does feel good, man. It's my first time in my career that we started off 2-0. And you know what? It's 1 week at a time right now. We're not going to get overconfident about anything. We're just going to go out and play the way we've been playing, a smart, tough football, and just keep working hard in practice.
It's funny. You know, Joe Philbin was asked on Monday, what are you going to say to your team about handling success? And you got Pouncey talking about it. I mean, like a year ago, it's sadly, but it's kind of hard to imagine, you know, these kinds of questions. But here we are 2 weeks into the 2013 season, and the team is being asked questions about, hey, how do you make sure you keep your edge? And how do you make sure you stay on track after winning, you know, the first 2 games, both on the road? It is a challenge sometimes for teams because there's more you got to do. The more wins you pile up, the bullseye gets a little bit bigger. Guys do at times. Some people have a tendency to start taking some things for granted, and you got to fight that within the locker room.
The more you win, the more intense each preceding week becomes.
You're
and
right.
More important. You know, if you get off to a bad start, then people write you off. But now the Dolphins are beginning to get notice around the country. They already have our attention. They've always had our attention here locally. But with that 2-0 start, like you said, Jesse, particularly on the road, you know, people talked at the beginning of the season, Twan, about this gauntlet. Well, they're going into this gauntlet firing on all cylinders right now. They're looking good. They're feeling good about themselves. And it's something that you have to learn to kind of mature yourself into as a team and understand there's different level of expectations around when you're the underdog going in versus when people are saying, you know what, this team, this Dolphin team has every right to win this game.
The more games they win, the bigger the bullseye becomes on their chest. And when you look at it, these, you know, a lot of these guys are looking at, hey, I've been here for a few years and I haven't had that success that I imagined when I came to the National Football League. Now they're 2-0, and now they're starting to get national attention. Now people are starting to recognize them when they go out to a restaurant or, you know, they're at the movies. So now these guys have more pressure, and the true competitor, what he does, he works harder. He leads better. He puts more time in the weight room, because if he doesn't, well, they're going to lose at some point. They want to make sure that they're doing what they need to do to be successful.
Absolutely. Let's move from Mike Pouncey to Mike Wallace. How about that? The wide receiver on what he wants the identity of the 2013 Miami Dolphins to be.
We don't want to play like – we don't want our defense to be the best on the team. We want to be the best on the team. We want this to be the offensive team. And if the defense had the same mentality, we could be a great team, because – I know I don't want to be on a team where the defense is carrying us. That's not what I come here for. I'm not saying I'm the guy that changes, but at the same time, any offense I'm on, I don't want to be like we're just making it through. I want to be an explosive offense. I want to be a team putting up points. And that's what our coaches want, I'm pretty sure. We don't want to be a team where our defense is carrying us. I know I certainly don't.
I love that. I love that from Mike Wallace. I don't want to be on a team that's known for its defense. You want the defense to be great, and you want the defense to think that they don't want to be on a team known for their offense. They go, I'm a wide receiver. Heath, you went through this in those Marino years. I mean, this was a team that was known for offense and I imagine wanted to be known for its offense.
That's why we can walk around a little more pride than the defensive players from that era, because we did carry those teams all those years. And you don't want, I mean, it's a competitive atmosphere, a competitive situation at locker room. Each unit wants to not only carry their weight, but carry the team. And when you've got two units like that who are vying for it, that's when you have a really good team. And I think that's what Mike Wallace was saying and Coach Philbin was saying.
And that's what it's about. I mean, when I was here, it was the defense was taking charge, and the defense was the one moving the team forward. But when you have an internal competition between the offense and defense, it's very healthy because guys want to get better. Guys do not want to let their fellow teammate down. And, you know, there's some locker room pressure there, too. I mean, there's some bulletin board stuff that goes up on the locker. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't perform the way you're supposed to perform, you may quietly get an article taped to your locker or quietly get a joke happening at lunch. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of pressure in that room to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
All right, well, we got to be fair to the defense. Hear from one of their guys. Jared Odrick had this message for Dolphin fans before the home opener.
I'm very excited, very excited. We want all of you to come out, support us. We need it. We love it. Gets us excited. So please come out and support the Miami Dolphins of 2013. But it's always a fun experience to play at home. An excited, energetic stadium, and being the first home game and playing a good opponent.
There you go. Check it out at dolphins.com/I'm there. See everybody who used the hashtag I'm there on Twitter to say that they're going to be part of the home field advantage on Sunday. Attention fanatics, you can now ride Tri-Rail to and from all Dolphins home games. Avoid traffic and save money on parking. Visit dolphins.com/Tri-Rail for more details. We'll take a two-minute break when we come back. Hopefully bring you some of Joe Philbin's post-practice press conference. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the show with former Dolphins Tuan Russell and Keith Sims. I'm Jesse Agler. Practice has wrapped up here at the Doctors Hospital training facility on this Wednesday. Just a couple of moments. The head coach, Joe Philbin, going to be stepping to the podium out back and do a little post-practice press conference and talk to the media out there. We'll bring part of that to you live. Ryan Tannehill also going to address the media out at the podium. We'll try and bring you some of that. And Rashad Jones, the Dolphins safety, going to join us in studio, live and in studio coming up in just a little bit. Taking your text message, questions, and comments at 347-347 and your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS. Had a question that came in a few times in the last couple of days. We mentioned Deion Jordan played 10% of the snaps the other day for the Dolphins, and he did. And they wanted to know how much Derek Shelby played. I think it was 16-17%. You know, Shelby's a defensive end. He kind of, you know, he'll give Cam Wake a breather. He'll come in. But Derek Shelby has looked really good in the first two games in the opportunities that he has had. I mean, nobody's talking about it because they didn't recover either fumble, but he has a strip sack in each of the first two games, and eventually, you hope at least, if that continues, they'll start recovering some, and those are huge plays in a game, Tuan.
I'll tell you, and that defensive line, I mean, that's the part of this team that could really change the entire dynamic of how people perceive us, because they're making the offense turn the ball over, and that's one of the reasons why our defensive backs are getting picks. That's one of the reasons why our linebackers are able to blitz as well as they've been able to blitz and cover as well as they've been able to blitz, because it all starts up with that front four, and they are playing as dominating as any other defensive line in the National Football League. And literally, as they go, this team is going to go, because they can change the tide in a second. And when you're getting those those strips for fumbles, when you're getting those interceptions, that leads to points on the scoreboard.
It certainly does, and I think this defensive line is strength of this team coming in. You mentioned Derek Shelby and got Deion Jordan. You get those guys who can come in and spell our starters, Vernon and Wake, and there's not a big drop-off. I mean, that is a huge positive for the Dolphin defensive line to have fresh guys coming in. As an offensive lineman, I get sick and tired of seeing fresh bodies. You want the D-lineman in front of you to get tired just like you are, and we got fresh bodies rotating in with different pass rush moves, different ways they set you up. It's a struggle for offensive line, and we'll probably see that production as defensive line increase this week because Atlanta is struggling as an offensive line.
There you go. Lucci in West Palm Beach, by the way. And it's funny because I heard about this from a couple of people on Twitter. He goes, I just watched the top 10 countdown on NFL Network of best players to wear number 12. No Bob Greasy, but Andrew Luck was on the list.
What?
That's insane. And I always tell people, don't get too wrapped up in national media. That's a joke. Mm-hmm. That's a joke. That's really, really bad.
Is that the one that we had Brady as the best all-time at number 12? I saw one of those, but I didn't see Andrew Luck.
You can't get wrapped up in that kind of stuff.
Not a second-year quarterback. And Luck is great, but he's only been in the league for a year and 2 games.
Bob Greasy's the Hall of Fame, for goodness sake. So. I mean, that's atrocious. And by the way, the thing definitely didn't, you know, air because of what happened in the last 2 weeks. So it's basically taking a guy off his rookie year and putting him on that list.
The guy that chose that was born somewhere in the mid-80s. I mean, he had probably 90s. He has no concept of the bigger picture of who are the best players in the national football
league. All right. Well, if he's got no idea, then I guess we can't blame him. Is that what you're saying? Because I still want to blame him.
No, I'm blaming the network.
Okay,
I got it.
Okay. That's fair. Joe Philbin, by the way, press conference any moment now. We'll bring you part of that live. In the meantime, let's check in with Tristan Jones over in the Metro PCS Comment Center.
All right, we've had a lot of questions about, comments as well, about Jamar Taylor and Will Davis returning to practice. And Myron in Texas says, finally, Miami's second and third round draft picks are practicing. How important are they in the passing game against the Falcons? Potent pass attack.
Let's split his comment question in half there. First part, very good news that Jamar Taylor and Will Davis are practicing this week. We don't have the official injury report yet for today. We should before the show ends. Now, how does that relate to Sunday? I don't know. I don't know how much you could expect either one of those guys to contribute, or even I don't know that you could assume that they're both going to be active. I don't know that we're at that point yet. Dimitri Patterson is the bigger name for Sunday. Patterson did not play against the Colts with a groin injury, so you saw more Nolan Carroll. You saw more Jimmy Wilson playing cornerback. This week, if Patterson is able to go, that kind of gives you another layer of depth. You know, he was a starter. I mean, he earned a starting job. So that's who my eye is more on this week, Patterson more than Davis or Taylor. But when you are talking big picture, yes, it is very nice to see both of those guys participating in practice.
Oh, they're talented young players. They need to get out there and get reps and get through the experience of game time and pregame and preparing for the week. So it's great. It's going to bode well. But when you look out there and you got Brent Grimes, Dimitri Patterson, Nolan Carroll, Jimmy Wilson, I think as Dolphin fans, we're pretty comfortable and pretty happy we have such depth in our defensive backfield. So it's great to see those guys back at practice and hopefully close to being returning, but we're not in dire straits of actually needing them ready to go yet.
Keith, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, when you have that kind of depth, when you have two guys in Carroll and Wilson that can come off the bench and play, when Carroll, I mean, in the first game of the year, when Carroll plays that well and you don't really see a difference, mm-hmm. when you have those guys that can play the entire game, and a lot of it has to do with that defensive line. I mean, they make Grimes look better. They make Clemens and Jones look better. And as long as our defensive line are hunting, as long as they're getting after that quarterback, we can not be as strong as our secondary. But I'll say that our secondary is pretty good. I mean, I know the defensive line is making them better, but we have some good talent there. I mean, man for man, we have a lot of talent. And I actually like Carroll. I don't think that's a big loss for us when he's at corner.
Well, the other day he looked, I think, about as good as we've seen him look in any game as a
right.
pro.
Yeah.
I mean, here you go. Real deal. Last couple years when Nolan Carroll comes in a game because somebody else gets hurt, a lot of the time it seemed like the ball was going right to where he was.
Yeah.
And it was successful a decent amount of the time. The other day he came in, I didn't notice any kind of real drop-off. And again, we're not watching the film. We don't know what the assignments are. You know, we don't know what the play calls were, anything like that. But I was like, all right, I'm not worried right now about Nolan Carroll being in the game the other day. He played really, really well. And you hope that maybe, you know, it clicked for him. And again, that adds a huge element of depth. to this secondary. Hey, Dolphins, head over to Dave and Buster's in Hollywood on Friday beginning at 5:30 and help the Dolphins cheerleaders and TD kick off the NFL weekend. Eat, drink, and play at Dave and Buster's. We'll take a two-minute break when we come back. Try and find Joe Philbin's post-practice press conference, Ryan Tannehill, and Rashad Jones live in studio, all coming up as well, plus the ticket giveaway in hour two. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida and listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the show. Former Dolphins Keith Sims and Twan Russell are here. Joe Philbin, a little post-practice press conference taking place out back here at the Doctors Hospital training facility. Let's watch and listen.
Joe, you obviously knew what you were getting with Mike Wallace. What's something that maybe has surprised you that he brings to the table? Maybe in some way has exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, I like the way he's starting to practice. I told him today in the bubble that, I think he's practicing better than he has. And, we have a strong feeling that there's correlation between how you practice and how you perform in a game. And I think there's still room for improvement, obviously, as there is with any football player. But, I like the way he's practicing. And he's a good guy in the locker room. So it's been good.
He's made progress from the time he got here in that area?
Definitely.
Joe, have you picked up any indications or signs from the public about how they're behind this team? Like if you're pumping gas, is anybody congratulating you or anything like that?
Everybody, I haven't been out a whole lot, to be quite honest with you, but the people here have been tremendously supportive of our program since the day I got here, really, so I'm not surprised. No, I absolutely do. Okay. Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Are you sensing from the players just being the home opener and being back to the stadium?
Yeah, I think the guys are excited about, like you just said, playing at home. To be a great football team in the National Football League, you have to have an identity at your home stadium, and it's important for us. There's been a great tradition of success that the Miami Dolphins have had, that we've had as an organization, playing home games here, and especially in September, and we want to keep that up, no doubt about it.
You said yesterday Olivier Vernon has played well. What do you like about what he's done to start this
season? Well, he's been very sound. I think he's been at the point of attack in the run game. I think he's held his gap well. He hasn't been displaced an awful lot. I think he's gotten some good pressure on the quarterback. The numbers haven't maybe been there quite yet, but I'm confident they will.
In terms of the changes back for Coach Rogers, it's likely going to be starting. What kind of dimension does he bring to the Falcons?
Yeah, well, I think the perimeter plays potentially could be a little bit more in play. But he has good skill in a variety of different schemes. But obviously that's one thing that, their other back that's not going to play was, a little bigger and more physical and probably a little better suited to the inside game. And this is not as big a football player, so I think you got to be alert maybe for a little more perimeter attack.
Considering how Rodgers is utilizing the passing game, do you think that they'll be more pass heavy?
Well, they've been pretty pass heavy so far in the first two games. I mean, they've been, I think we put up, I want to say they've had 81 attempts, Matt Ryan, and maybe 30 called runs or something like that. So, I mean, they've the numbers tell you they've been pretty pass oriented already.
You guys have been pretty exotic with your fronts.
Defensive fronts? Or, okay. Yep.
Do you still feel like, though, that you guys are best to be getting pressure on the front four and playing coverage? I mean, is that really what...
I think you have to have a... I think, from coaching offense in the league for a long time, I think the more you can do from a balance standpoint where from a particular front you're not always, if you can keep your computer where it's in around 60-40 or 55-45, be that, so on third down, you don't want to pressure every single third down. You don't want to blitz out of a certain front all the time. So I think the more you can have that balance where the guys on the other side and the other staff room are, they might blitz, they might not. They might rush four, they might rush three. I think that helps you.
Yeah. From
all right, that was Joe Philbin. He's doing his little post-practice press conference out back here at the Doctors Hospital training facility. Ryan Tannehill up after him. Also, Rashad Jones going to join us live in studio. If you want to see the whole press conference, you can check out Dolphins.com. Just a little while from now, we put those up every single day. So that's what's coming out of the mouth of the head coach. Interesting question about the Falcons' running game. And, you know, Steven Jackson, sort of the bigger guy, the inside runner. And if they think maybe they'll be a little bit more spread out in their run game. And he said, yeah, that kind of sounds like it's possible. And, of course, that kind of ties into one of the big injuries for the Dolphins this week, which is Paul Solei. And it's like, all right, if you tell me that they're going to run outside and not inside, you know, Paul Solei hasn't practiced yet this week. That at least seems to help out a little bit with something like that.
It definitely could. And, you know, they're going to move Randy Starks inside. We've got a depth on the defensive line. So even though Paul Solei, if he's not able to play, will be sorely missed because he brings such a presence against the run, the Falcons have bigger issues. When you lose a guy like Steven Jackson, a guy that can run inside, outside, a guy that's a great receiver out of the backfield, that's a huge blow for their offense. And they only have a couple days to retool, reshape, and you can't change everything. You know, Coach Philbin already said they're more pass happy than run happy. So I don't know if they're going to change that and try to run the ball just in case Paul Solei is out. They'll probably do what they've been doing so far.
I think they're going to have to pass the ball. I mean, their offensive line is in disarray now. That puts us in a great situation. Even if Solei can't play, we still have Starks, we have Audric that we can play in the middle. And, you know, we have guys that we can replace him with through a rotation. And there's not a big drop-off, especially when Starks steps in there. You're talking about a guy that's played at a very high level. And we have so many defensive ends that we can rotate through. I think, you know, our strength plays to their strength. They're gonna throw the ball. That's where their strength is. They're going to try to get the ball in Roddy Wright's hands and Julio Jones's hands as much as they can. And I would be surprised if they try to run down our throat, if they try to take their running backs and say, hey, we're going to line up toe-to-toe and try to push you down the field. I don't think they can do it, number one. And number two, I just don't think they have enough weapons to do that.
347-347 if you want to text in. 1-855-GO-FINS if you want to call in. All kinds of conversation about the situation with Paul Solei. No official injury report up to this point, but we'll get that coming up in just a couple of moments. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Rashad Jones is going to join us live in studio. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the show. Former Dolphins Keith Sims and Twan Russell are here. Now we're joined live in studio by Dolphins safety Rashad Jones, fresh off the practice field. You guys are in pads today.
Oh, yeah.
You got the Wednesday schedule. You got tomorrow off. It's a little bit different, the whole Tuesday, Thursday, you know, off day kind of situation. But I imagine Wednesday, you get off the practice field after a tough practice in pads. And probably not the worst thing in the world to know you got tomorrow off.
Oh, yeah, not at all, man. It's all to help help our body towards the end of the week, you know, get a little rest and come in on Sunday, you know, fresh and ready to go.
And that's the whole point. You want to be fresh and ready to go on Sunday. And so far, so good, 2-0. Congrats on the start. And now this week, the Atlanta Falcons come in, and you're an Atlanta guy. Is this a big week for friends and family? We getting a lot of phone calls this week?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think I got to get like 30 tickets, man. It's going to be a huge one.
Well, when you think about Rashad, you got Atlanta coming in, Matt Ryan, but that receiving core. When you look at Roddy White, Julio Jones, or Tony Gonzalez, which piece worries you the most to have to cover?
All those guys, man. It's a good, a great group of guys, and they have a great leader in Matt Ryan, you know, getting the ball to those guys. And I think he does a great job of distributing the ball throughout, you know, all three of those guys. You know, Tony Gonzalez is a Hall of Famer. Julio Jones is playing like no other right now. You know, he's playing some great ball. And, you know, Roddy White, a great crafty receiver who knows how to run routes, knows how to get open. So it's going to be a tough challenge for us as a secondary and for us as a defense.
Rashad, with Steven Jackson going down, my guess is that they're going to put a little bit more emphasis on the pass and maybe try to run the ball by committee. How does our D-line help you guys in the pass? If they're going to line up and they're going to throw it 40, 45 times a game, how does that D-line – going to help you guys be successful?
Oh, we have a great front seven. You know, those guys and Cam Wake, led by Cam Wake, you know, Randy Starks and Paul Solei, Jerry Oldre, all those guys does a great job, you know, rushing the passer. So, you know, like you say, those guys help us tremendously. You know, the more pressure they put on the quarterback, the faster that they can get the ball out of his hands. And I think that less we have to cover. So that's a great job for us. You know, I mean, they help us out a lot.
Dolphin safety Rashad Jones is here. In 2010, your rookie year, you only started a couple games, but you played a lot. You were here. You experienced it. That's the last time the Dolphins were 2-0. to start a season. So you think back to your rookie year, obviously finished 7-9 that season, 2-0 here in 2013. What's the message from the coaches? What's the approach from the players to make sure you take advantage of the hot start?
Just being consistent. We know we got the ball rolling in the right direction. I think we have a long way to go. But right now, it's just being consistent. Just continue to do what we're doing and just continue to play our football, you know, fundamentally sound and just give ourselves a chance to win ball game.
What's gone well for you and for this defense in the first 2 weeks?
We're playing physical and fast. You know, we got some veteran guys and some fast guys at the linebacker position, the back end and up front. You know, we're just playing physical and we're playing fast.
You know, Rashad, when you look at it, the Dolphins rewarded you with that contract extension this year. You're definitely the leader of that secondary. Tell me what kind of player you want to be. How are you going to fulfill the obligation of the money that they gave you?
For me, as a player in the back end, like I say, it's about being consistent. You know, last year I went out and I demonstrated that I was one of the elite safeties in this game, that I can play at a high level, you know, and I just want to continue to do what I'm doing, be vocal and lead by an example, you know, go out, make plays when the plays are presented and just continue to keep these guys up.
Rashad, you're still demonstrating that you're one of the elite safeties in the game, and I think you guys are doing that through great physical play. How are you guys getting those additional turnovers? I mean, when you, I love to watch the game when I see turnover after turnover, whether it be a defensive lineman, whether it be a corner or a safety. Everybody's involved in that. Are you guys working on that? How are these turnovers coming up? Because last year we didn't see this.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We're working on it each and every day out there on the practice field. You know, Coach Cole, he kind of tell us, you know, punch at the ball, you know, pick up loose balls, go up and make plays on the ball. And we know Coach Fieldman tell us each and every day, you know, the percentage of winning and losing in this league is almost predicated on, you know, the turnover ratio. So going up and making those plays, causing fumbles, getting interceptions, it give ourselves a chance to win ball games. So that's what we want to continue to do.
Rashad, along with being an elite safety and probably the leader of the secondary, it goes with communication. You know, Dolphin fans know back from many years ago when the secondary wasn't able to communicate effectively and get up a lot of big plays. You've had pieces going in and out with Demetri Patterson being hurt, Nolan Carroll stepping up. How have you guys solidified that communication so you haven't had any major gaffes in the secondary?
That's the good thing about being in the NFL, being in this league. You know, when one guy goes down, the next guy should be ready to step up and fill that void. And I think we've been doing a tremendous job. Like you say, when Demetri went down, Nolan stepped up, and a lot of guys just been filling voids, you know, for different guys to go down. You know, Paul went down, Randy and Jerry Oldrick ready. You know, that's the part, that's the beauty about this league, the NFL.
Safety Rashad Jones is with us in studio. Got some fan questions coming in for you. Pennsylvania Dolphin wants to know, and he refers to you as Mr. Jones, by the way. He's very respectful. Mr. Jones, what is more satisfying to you, an interception or putting the smack down on a running back? What do you like more?
You know, in this league now, they're calling flags and you're getting fined for putting smack down on guys. So I think going up and making those big time plays, intercepting the ball.
AZ Dolphin wants to know what the biggest challenge for you is when it comes to work ethic and being confident every week. What's the big challenge for you there? Or is there one, I guess, might be the better question. You got pretty good confidence right now coming off the huge year last year, coming off the contract, obviously. I imagine confidence isn't one of the issues, maybe.
Oh, no, not at all, you know.
Every time you cash that paycheck, you're confident.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And you've proven it on the field. It's not just about money.
That's twice, though, you talked about that man money.
I'm not telling you.
Let his money be.
I am happy for
him. Let his money be.
And you know what? He's earned every penny of it.
You're absolutely right.
Sorry.
Aqua Viator wants to know what your goals are as far as still trying to improve and still trying to get better. What are you looking to do better now?
Be consistent. You know, just like I said, I got the ball rolling in the right direction. I just want to be consistent. Just top off what I've done last year and just continue to keep it going.
All right. There you go. You got another one? You look like you got another one.
I got one more. I mean, with all these fines, and we talked about laying down the smackdown on guys, how have you had to adjust your game not to get the fines and still make the great tackles and still, you know, be a physical player? How has, you know, all of the defensive players had to adjust their game?
I think you don't really have to adjust your game. You still can play fast and physical. You just got to know where the striking zone is right now. Mm-hmm. At this point, I guess, you know, just don't target, you know, the head. You know, you just got to just know in the back of your mind, you know, it can hurt your team, you know, getting those big time personal fouls and different things like that. So just basically knowing where the striking zone is and knowing where you should hit a player.
There you go. Good stuff. Rashad Jones, Dolphins 2-0 so far to start this 2013 season. Hope to see it continue against your hometown team, the Atlanta Falcons, on Sunday. Have a good game. Good luck with all the ticket requests and everything like that.
30.
And that's a lot, man. And hoping you can pull home the victory in front of all the family and friends.
Most definitely. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Rashad. Thanks so much. Join the Dolphins Orange Pages today and take advantage of special offers, plus network with other business professionals through the Dolphins Business Alliance. Visit orangepages.miamidolphins.com. Big thanks to Rashad Jones. Try and get a little Ryan Tannehill press conference when we return. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back. Keith Sims, Twan Russell are here. Thanks to Rashad Jones for swinging by the studio. Ryan Tannehill currently doing his weekly press conference with the South Florida media outside by the practice fields. Let's have a listen.
We should have scored more than we did in the second half. But the defense did a great job of stepping up and holding them to a field goal. So it's not going to be the offense pulling the weight or the defense pulling away. It's got to be a balance of both, and you have to complement each other.
You know, both games you've had at least three guys catch five balls or more. I mean, is it a fun offense to be playing in right now, where you got a lot of weapons spreading the ball around?
It's a lot of fun. You know, I have great guys around me that are making plays. You know, you have a weapon on every facet of the offense. Running backs catch the ball well. Receivers all have individual things that they bring to the table. And when you get an offensive line that gives you time, it's a lot of fun. No, not at all. Sweet. Hold on, let me answer that one. So Charles Clay, you know, we knew when we lost Dustin that he was going to have to step up and play a big part in the offense, and I've seen a lot out of Clay over the last 2 years. You know, maybe it didn't always play out in the games like we saw in practice, but we saw his ability flash, making big plays in practice, and now he's finally being able to step up and do it in a game.
Ryan, what are you seeing in Atlanta's defense as you break down the film and compared to what you just faced the last 2 years?
They're a good defense. They throw a lot of looks at you. I think that's the biggest thing is disguising. You know, they want to confuse the quarterback, confuse the offense, and show you one thing and then spin to the other thing. You know, bring everyone down, roll a guy back late. So they're going to throw a lot of different looks at us, and we just have to handle them and get the ball out.
Ryan,
all right, that's Ryan Tannehill talking with the press after practice today. The whole doing press conferences on the final approach for Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport
little challenging.
Presents some challenges from a listening standpoint. It's not just on TV and radio, by the way. Even when you're out there 5 feet away from the guy, sometimes it can be hard to hear him. But, you know, they want to do the press conference outside, you're going to get the airplane noise. So we do the best that we can with all of that. A few minutes to go here in the first hour of the show. You know, talking to Rashad Jones, hearing from Ryan Tannehill, hearing from Joe Philbin. You know, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing crazy, but you get the sense that the offensive guys, they know they're going to have to score some points this week, and the defensive guys, well, they know this is going to be a challenge, and all of that, I guess, is just common sense, and it's also the reality of today's NFL, where most teams are, you know, scoring on average at least three touchdowns a game.
It is. You know, 17 points is not going to win many NFL games anymore, and that's the beauty of the Dolphins now. You see, like, what we saw last week, they got off to that quick 14-point lead, put two touchdowns on the board. You've got to keep that going, and as good as the Dolphin defense is, Atlanta's coming in, even with the guys linked up, even with some of their injuries, with a very potent offense that is used to scoring a lot of points. So this may end up being a shootout. I like the Dolphins' chances because I like the progress they have made offensively from last year to this year. You look at Mike Wallace, you look at Brian Hartline, you look at, like, Tannehill was just talking about Charles Clay, the step-ups that each guys have made. And the NFL is all about the next man up. Well, when Dustin Keller got hurt, we were sitting here wondering who's going to step up at tight end. And so far, we've seen Charles Clay really step up.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, yeah, you got to score all these touchdowns. Our defense is not playing as well as the defensive talent less than it was, you know, in years past. No, I disagree with that. That I think it's more or less, you know, it's calls, it's, you know, it's penalties, it's, you know, it's the rules behind the game. That's what prevents defenses from stopping offenses these days. And Troy. I work with them all day, man. Sorry. Keith.
Are you saying they're shaped similarly?
Please.
No. Don't care. I'm done.
You sure?
How are you going to get me involved in this?
I'm just asking.
Not anymore. How's that?
Well,
take that any way you want.
Oh, gosh.
But we like Troy. We love him.
But I do agree with you, Keith, from a standpoint that it is the next guy up, mm-hmm. and that's the National Football League. That's how people make their careers. And a lot of times that's how a young guy gets on the football field and really shows what he does. And these guys have opportunities to step on the football field and play at a high level, and hopefully the coach improves what the coach already knows about them, and they have an opportunity to play longer.
All right, little note here, by the way, from the Indianapolis Colts, their owner, Jim Irsay. Everybody knows a little bit out there. Mm-hmm. He tweeted a few minutes ago, announcing coming soon, in all caps, and then a few minutes later, this day of monster trade, the tidal wave of deal-making shocks the system of. Didn't see this one coming. Griggs rolling dice. His GM is Ryan Grigson. Apparently the Colts are making a big trade, if you can interpret Irsay speak. We'll stay tuned and find out about that. Hour two on the radio and online coming up. Give away a pair of tickets to Sunday's game. For everybody who's been watching on Fox Sports Florida, thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And again, if you're listening on Dolphins.com or 940 Wins, we continue right after this.
Number two.
Want to be on the inside?
We've got you covered. It's the Binsiders.
Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims calling out the fans for Sunday's home opener.
Bring back that true home field advantage. And trust me, as players, we do feel that energy, and it does help us at key times. Whether it's defense and you're trying to make that fourth to goal stand, you need that crowd to be live. Whether it's us and we need them to be quiet, hey, we need the 12th man down here in South Florida.
Rounding out the crew, it's Twan Russell, who credits his NFL career to a movie.
When I was a kid, I was Rudy. 5 years old, I wasn't supposed to be playing football because I was too young. They used to pound me into the ground, beat the crap out of me, and it gave me motivation. It, you know, my heart got bigger. And when I saw the movie, I said, I got a chance.
Also, in the comment center, chatting with the fans, it's Tristan, who's not your ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill Jones.
Tristan Jones has been chatting with everybody online throughout the afternoon.
Are you sure you want to do that? It's the end of the day.
Jones, Tristan Jones.
It's the Binsiders.
Welcome back to the show. Hour number two, Twan Russell, Keith Sims are here. We'll take your text messages at 347-347. Maybe get to a couple of phone calls, 1-855-5-GO-FINS. Yesterday, the guy, what was it, Akeem in Alabama, is that what it was? He called up, man, he got me all fired up. He was the caffeine that I needed. He called up. He was ranting, raving, screaming. He was all fired up for Sunday's game. So you never know. You get that good call that can come in and really just energize the entire place. We'll give away a pair of tickets to Sunday's game today as well. And, of course, we'll check in with Tristan Jones throughout the second hour of the show and get to all the questions coming in from the Dolphins.com live chat. We've got their chat's choice coming up in about a half hour. And a few minutes from now, John Congemi is going to join us live in studio. He is presently inside the Dolphins locker room. He is chatting with the different players, hearing what they've got to say. And we'll get a sense of what was being said in the locker room today with John coming up in the next few minutes. We're waiting on the official injury report, but we can tell you Paul Soliai was not out there today. Chris Clements was working off to the side. We'll see about that. Dimitri Patterson was active when the media was in there, which is a small portion of practice. Same can be said for Will Davis and Jamar Taylor, the rookie cornerbacks. So that's the good news. But wait and see on Clements and Soliai. And again, today was a full pad practice for the team. Tomorrow will be a day off, and then back at it Friday, Saturday, all in advance of the home opener on Sunday. Twan is wearing his Falcons colors today. Hey. I'm not sure what's up with that, the black and red, but nonetheless, it's going to be fun on Sunday. You know, the week three home opener is tough, but when you win those first two games, all of a sudden it feels like a gift from the schedule makers.
And it's exciting. I mean, when you start looking at the team, I really feel good for the guys. I mean, it's so much better to be able to walk into your – you know, the locker room and have a sense of pride that you are representing South Florida the way they deserve to be represented. And these guys have worked so hard in the offseason. They've done so much as an organization. You know, they've invested so much. And to be able to have a good start and to say, hey, you know, everybody was so worried about the first five games, that's all we heard about. And then they're saying, oh, okay, if we split the first two, well, now we've won the first two. Now we're going up against Atlanta. And, you know, now the odds makers, and you hear people talk about, oh, okay, you know, Dolphins by two or this by – I mean, not that any of that matters. It's just good that people feel positive about the Dolphins. I mean, when the Dolphins has given so much back to South Florida, and it's just nice to see them getting some of the fruits of their labors and seeing some of the some positive things happen from all the things that they've done in the offseason.
You're absolutely right, Tuan. And today I had a chance to watch A Football Life on Don Shula, and it was really fun to go back and see South Florida in the 70s and how this team and what Coach Shula meant to South Florida and the winning ways. I mean, it's hard to remember or realize that in 30 plus years of coaching, he had two losing seasons. That's it.
That's crazy.
And that's an insanity. That's why he is the winningest coach of all time. And even when I came here in 1990, there was such a pride in the locker room and in the community for the Dolphins. We were a winning organization. When you said Dolphins in one sentence, winning was always part of it. And I think for this team right now, they're learning that. You know, the Miami Heat have been great in winning back-to-back championship in the finals the last 3 years, and LeBron's unbelievable, and Wade and all that stuff. But I think it's time for the Dolphins to take their place. They are the number one franchise here in the state of Florida. They need to get back to where they have been in the past. And the first 2 weeks of this year, I think as a Dolphin fan, you have got to be sky high for what you're seeing. You're seeing them win games, tough games on the road. You're seeing the return of offense, explosive plays back to Miami, which we haven't seen in a long time. You've got a young core group of players who are just going to get better and better. And you're seeing the moves that Jeff Ireland and Coach Philbin have made starting to pay dividends. And I know it's early, and I know it's only 2-0, but being 2-0, I will always take that over being 1-1. And I think they're headed in the right direction. And this is a huge, huge step and test Sunday in Sun Life Stadium at 4:05. Don't mean to pound it. You can see I care about it.
He's about to tear up the whole table, the whole thing rumbling.
I'm excited. As a fan, I'm excited to be there and see this team in our home stadium for the first time. I did a little more gently that time.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't know if we have money for a new desk. I'm just going to be honest with you. So if you break it, okay. I don't know.
If I break it, I'm fixing it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. How are your carpentry skills?
Not very good anymore.
Okay. We'll just call Frank Reed.
Get somebody in here to take care of that. All right, let's go out to the phones. Again, the number 1-855-GO-FINS. Jeff is up in Boynton. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, gentlemen? How are we today?
Great. Thanks.
Good, Jeff.
First of all, hey, Keith, by the way, it's your buddy Jeff from the
I was going to say, I know that voice.
Yeah, that's me, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. The weekend, man.
Yeah, you know that. Now, here we go. Here's my question, and being that you were offensive guy, and I know all you guys have studied it long enough, last year everybody would call in and complain that Tannehill was getting everything thrown and it was getting tipped at the line. Everything was getting blocked down at the line. This year, it seems to me that he holds the ball a little too long, and he throws everything behind them. Like, the pass to Wallace last week was nice. If he would have thrown it a little bit further down and led him, he wouldn't have fell at the 1 yard line. And granted, we still got the touchdown. I'm happy with his play, but are those two things that did you guys think he can correct during the season? I would think.
Thanks a lot. Ball accuracy, ball placement. It's something we've talked about a decent amount. It's something we've heard Ryan talk a decent amount. He knows it's something to work on, and it is an under-discussed part of quarterbacking. So it's a good observation, Jeff. Ball placement is huge, huge, huge. Huge when it comes to what a play actually turns out to be.
You watch a game with a receiver like we have the luxury of doing with O.J. McDuffie here, or even with a Sam Madison on a defensive back, you know that placement is huge because, like you said, the window for that ball is so small in the NFL. You couple that with the opportunity for the receiver to catch the ball and to keep going. That's why the great quarterbacks, the Tom Brady's and the Aaron Rodgers and the Drew Brees's, when their receivers are catching that ball, they're in stride. They don't have to reach back for it. Most nine times out of ten, it's in the perfect spot for that receiver to make a big play. I think Ryan knows that's an issue. It was an issue with him last year. I think he's working hard to get better at it. So I think that's a work in progress. And that's typical for a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFL. Remember, this is only, what, his 18th game that he started this past week? 16th, I'm talking real games, not preseason games in the NFL from last year, this year. So he will continue to get better there. Now, let's adjust the second part of your question, because as an offensive lineman, that's the part that we get pissed off the most about, is a young quarterback has got to have that clock in their head. And I think what happens is you've got a young quarterback that has the mobility. You see what Andrew Luck does. You see what Kaepernick does. You see what Russell Wilson does. They want to make a play. And they feel like if they need to, if the whole pocket breaks down, they can escape the pocket and make a big play with their feet. Ryan Tannehill has that ability to do that and run the football. So they hold the ball a little bit longer than they should. They are not necessarily classic drop back pocket passers. So they feel like with their escapability, they have the ability to hold the ball a little bit. I think that's turned into a couple early sacks in these first two games for Ryan Tannehill. I think he'll work on that as well. Either Mike Sherman will tell him, hey, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, if it's not there, you've gone through your reads, tuck it and go or throw the ball away, because we hate those cheap sacks when they call them the quote-unquote the coverage sacks that defenses get sometimes on us, Tawan.
First of all, I mean, when you watch that play that from Tannehill to Wallace, Wallace has to get in the end zone. I mean, you can't be stopped on a 1 yard line. And I'm criticizing him a little bit, but it's coming from a good place. I mean, he has to fight whatever it takes, because it's hard to score a touchdown, and you know you don't necessarily get to to do that play over again. So he has to figure out a way to get a touchdown just by turning his hips a little bit and trying to fall forward instead of backing up into the end zone. I felt he got a touchdown. You know, now it's a stat booster. And then the second thing, and I'm not a quarterback expert, but one thing I do know from a defensive line standpoint, we like, and I say we as from defensive players, we like when a quarterback gets too high in the pocket, because if he gets too high in the pocket, he's changing the angles and he's making it positive for the defensive lineman. So that's why they're always telling quarterbacks to step into the pocket, step up in the pocket. Mm-hmm. So a couple times he was so high that when that guy's coming off the corner, he has a great angle at Tannehill where if he just stepped up in the pocket, he'll be able to help the offensive line to give him that extra second he needs to get the ball out of his hands.
The ball placement thing is fired up a couple of the texters. First off, somebody goes to the caller, what was the end result of the play? A touchdown, right? Stop complaining and nitpicking, LOL. He said, sorry for the Caps, just stuff like that drives me nuts. New Mexico Dolphin said, Tannehill placed it perfectly to Heartline week one. He's going to be fine. We've seen a couple of unbelievably placed balls from Tannehill, and that's why I'm not worried about it. But it's a fair nitpick. Now, it's more fun to me, or it's better to be able to nitpick these things after a victory than it is after a loss. But if that throw comes in a loss, you're talking about it in a little bit different of a light. Now you're able to talk about it and say, all right, cool, they still won, they still got the touchdown, but it is something to work on. And I imagine that's very much the conversation that's taking place inside the quarterback room. All right, here's a ball placement. Look, Ryan knows these things. It's easier said than done to put the ball where you want it, but he's had a couple throws. The Heartline touchdown week one, there was a Heartline pass in this game, a couple to Clay where he had to put it on the back shoulder, where he has just put the ball like he couldn't have walked up to the wide receiver and put the ball in front of him any better than he did with the throw. So, you know, I mean, it's good. There's a lot of good there from Ryan Tannehill, but there's obviously some stuff to work at as well. All right, Excited in Denver has texted in. Jesse, we were 2-0 versus Buffalo and Minnesota a couple of years ago. What is different this year? He said, don't get me wrong, I couldn't be more positive. We talked about that with Rashad Jones. That was his rookie year. They won games at Buffalo, at Minnesota. 2-0, you come home. You had a night game against the Jets, lost. Next week, night game against the Pats, lost. You end up 7-9. He says, what's different this year? One, I do think this is a better team on paper. I mean, you look at that roster versus this roster, just from a very basic standpoint, I think the 2013 Dolphins are a better on-paper team than the 2010 Dolphins. The other thing, when you think back to 2010, remember, that was also the year they won in Green Bay in overtime. Carpenter kicked that game-winning field goal. I mean, they were 1-7 at home that year. That's what I remember from 2010, is that they couldn't get out of their way at Sun Life Stadium. They were 1-7 at home. And boy, I hope I'm not testing fate or anything. I cannot imagine this team going 1-7 at home. Like, I can't even comprehend that happening.
No, the Carolina Panthers coming here. There's no way that's going to go ahead, Twan. Sorry.
But I'll tell you the one thing that's different is that it's not the same guy making a play every single time. I mean, you have Heartline making a play. You have Gibson making a play. You have Wallace who stepped up big. You have, Clay who came out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere. We know that Clay could do it. He finally got the opportunity, and he showed the world what he can do when he has the opportunity. I mean, our defensive line is hunting after the quarterback. So you have different pieces of the pie stepping up when we need them. And it's not just, one wide receiver making every single catch. It's not, the quarterback doing everything. It's really a scoring by committee. It's moving the ball by committee. It's a defense who are leaning on one another. The defensive line is doing well. So what does that mean? The secondary is doing well. And then allows the linebackers. And I'll tell you, the linebackers have been playing great. I mean, I'll tell you, Ellerby and Wheeler, they're blitzing and really attacking the ball and being physical. They've really changed the way offenses look at us. They know when they run that ball or when they catch that ball, they're going to get hit and get hit hard. And I think we're changing our DNA as a team.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. Real quick to kind of put a bow on the Tannehill conversation, Landshark tweeted me. He goes, Tannehill right now is the league's tied for the second most sacked quarterback. Give him more time and his accuracy is going to go up. That's part of it too. Yeah, that's part of it too. Look, Keith's point I thought was the best. He has however many starts. He has 18 starts in the regular season. I mean, it's going to get better. You know, all of that stuff is going to get better. He is a very smart, very physically gifted, talented quarterback. We're seeing just the beginning from Ryan Tannehill, and that's pretty exciting considering how good it's been. There's nothing like being on the road with the team, and now is your chance to enter to win the Super Cuts Rock the Cut sweepstakes, and you and a friend could win a trip to one of the Dolphins away games. Which game would you choose? Go to dolphins.com/rockthecut. dolphins.com/rockthecut. Which away game would you choose, Keith Sims, if you wanted to win a trip?
You know, nothing like going into New York.
There you go.
You know, to beat the Jets. So,
and I feel like that's 99 out of every 100 people that enters that contest is going to say the Jets.
Are you going to go to Buffalo?
No. Nobody needs to do that. Nobody needs to go to Buffalo. We'll take a break, come back. We'll catch up with John Congemi. He's been in the Dolphin locker room talking to the players, get to more of your text messages, phone calls. And, of course, we will check in with Tristan, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to Sunday's game. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com. Welcome back to the show. A little while ago, we were referencing Jim Irsay's tweets about a big trade coming, and I don't know that any of us thought it would be this big. The Browns and the Colts have pulled off a trade that is going to send running back Trent Richardson from Cleveland to Indianapolis in exchange for a first-round pick. And by the way, I mean, whoa, first of all.
He said monster
whoa.
Trade.
Yeah, he was not exaggerating. And, yeah,
that means if you don't follow Ursa, you better follow him.
Yeah, I know, right?
And oh, it's ironic, coincidental, whatever. I mean, it's the two teams the Dolphins have played so far, the Browns and the Colts, pulling this one off. Cleveland at this point, look, Brandon Whedon is hurt and probably done. They're down to like their third-string quarterback. They're trading a guy that a lot of people thought was a franchise running back, Trent Richardson. Of course, this is an era when you don't necessarily need a franchise running back. And so the Browns now, look, they're going to have a top three pick, you would imagine, because they're terrible. But then, you know, you get the Colts' first-round pick, and even if that's 20-something, that's a pretty clear indication that Michael Lombardi and the Cleveland Browns are ready to really, really start from scratch and probably with a new first-round quarterback next year as well, Teddy Bridgewater or otherwise. But on the other side of this, for Indianapolis, I mean, you got Andrew Luck. You've got the wide receivers that they've got. And, you know, we just saw them the other day. And with Vic Ballard going down, all right, Ahmad Bradshaw. Well, no, they're saying forget plan B. Let's go ahead and bring in this guy. I mean, again, we just saw this team the other day. You have to respect the pass game. Yeah. You have to respect Luck's ability in the pocket. You can't stack the box against Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton and Kobe Fleener and Darius Hayward Bay. You can't play them eight in the box, which means Trent Richardson, he's going to get some yards for them. That is a big, big, big move.
I'm just glad it happened after we faced him, because when you think about what they can put on the table, you mentioned Andrew Luck and now Trent Richardson, who can catch the ball out of the backfield and he's a beast inside the tackles. Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, Kobe Fleener, they lost Allen, the other tight end. They are building a young team. And what that move tells me, Tuan, is that the Colts are serious. They're serious about getting back to the playoffs and putting together a team that's going to challenge for a Super Bowl in the next coming years. The challenge for them is going to be, how do you manage that salary cap moving forward and keep all these young players together? But they are going to be a beast of an offense as soon as they get him integrated, run the football and catching it. If I'm Andrew Luck, I have got to be smiling like crazy, because adding a player that has potential to be an all-pro running back to my back behind me in my backfield, oh, nothing but great job.
I mean, Luck is literally bringing donuts in tomorrow for the running back.
For his GM. I got to believe I wonder how surprised Colts players are that this move, and I don't mean maybe Andrew Luck may have been in the right. inner circle on it, but you know, you're talking about the offensive line. If you're a lineman locker room and you just hear
they just got bigger,
wait,
stronger, and faster.
I get the block for Trent Richardson, mm-hmm. and I've seen him play. Oh my goodness.
I mean, what's exciting about something like this is that, you know, for the Colts, they're looking at their team saying, hey, we're going to win now. That we have enough pieces and we need – this is that one piece. This is rolling the dice saying we need one piece to get us over the hump, and they felt that they need one more piece, which is Trent Richardson. And it's going to be interesting to see how they use him because, you know, the offensive line, I thought when we played them, they could have been a little bit better. Now, does that offensive line get – better? Do they get stronger? Do they get faster? I say yes, only because it's a lot easier to run for block for a guy when you know if you don't block for him, he's going to run through you. Mm-hmm. And those guys are going to figure out a way to get him touches. They're going to figure out a way to get the ball in his hands, and that makes the Colts a contender immediately. And I'll tell you,
they went 11-5 last year.
Well, yeah. But I mean, a contender where they go deep into the playoffs, knocking on the Super Bowl. But if you look at the history of the National Football League and look at when young quarterbacks win the Super Bowl or, you know, have their big successes, it's usually early in their career. So maybe they're feeling that, you know, this is now for Andrew Luck, you know, in the next 5 years, that they have to give him the pieces he needs to make sure that he can make his run.
One final thing on this, then we'll get back to the Dolphins and the Falcons and everything else. Eric on Twitter said, talk about the Browns basically saying they made a wrong pick. Remember, you got a new GM now. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to do what new GMs do, which is try and make the team his own. And if he doesn't see Trent Richardson as being part of the future there, then okay. You know, I mean, he obviously doesn't. And they're going to have two first-round picks this year. Again, one of them, you got to figure, is a top three pick, their own. And
could
then,
be number one.
Yeah.
I don't think it was him
saying
that Trent Richardson was a bad pick, because I think he's an outstanding player. I think, like you said,
not what they need or want.
They have a boatload to rebuild. Unlike the Dolphins, they have a cupboard that is really bare right now. And they may need to go spend a pick on a quarterback and another receiver. I mean, they've got so many holes to fill.
But look at the Browns. I mean, outside of the defensive line, you get very challenged trying to figure out who's that guy, the guy that's going to really take them to the next level.
Certainly not in the skill player area. You really don't have it. So, like I said, I'm glad we've already gotten the Colts in our win column for the year.
No, that's exactly right. All right, let's go out to the phones. 1-855-GO-FINS, 1-855-GO-FINS. Doug is up in Atlanta. He's doing some scouting behind enemy lines.
Great,
what do you got,
show,
Doug?
Man.
Thanks, man.
Look, man, you guys are not giving us any kind of chance. We might as well stay here in Atlanta, man, right?
Yeah, why don't you do that? Just mail it in. We'll take it.
let me tell you something, guys. As long as Matt Ryan is standing upright and we have those receivers, I don't think you guys want to get in a shootout with us. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Don't get me wrong. But you guys just don't understand, man. I mean, as long as we got Matt Ryan standing straight up, and like I say, if it gets down to a game where it's a shootout, you guys don't stand a chance, man.
Everybody knows about – don't go anywhere, Doug. Everybody knows about Matt Ryan and the capabilities that he has, and they are outstanding, and he's got some serious weapons. The Dolphin offense, obviously, is not as progressed as Atlanta's. It's younger guys, you know, that are really only playing together for the second or third time, I guess, in the regular season. You look at the two defenses, though, where do you like the edge? I mean, you like the Dolphin defense better than the Atlanta defense?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. But I think what's going to happen, we're going to kind of spread you guys out. And don't sleep on Shelly now. I mean, he's no Jackson, but he's a hell of a back. And Rodgers, he's tough out there in space. So, I've read an article in the paper. Somebody, I can't remember who wrote the article, was talking about Gonzalez. Gonzalez won't be a factor. I mean,
I wouldn't imagine.
We didn't write that.
That's silliness. Doug, I got one more question for you. You're up in Atlanta. You're a Falcon fan. What the heck are you doing listening to our show?
Hey, man, I just got to hear what you guys talking about because
trying to get bulletin board material.
You guys not giving us no respect, man.
Think about it this way. Your strength is our strength. So you guys have a great pass attack. We have a great defensive pass rush. It's going to be like playing chess. I think your strengths line up well against our strength and whoever lines up at the end of the day.
Doug, which injury concerns you most for the Falcons? Is it Jackson? Is it Bierman? Is it Weatherspoon? Which of those has you most concerned?
Well, to be honest with you, Bierman did a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the line. You could see him in the middle of the field. What little pass rush we had, you know, he was supplying, but you know, we're going to put that thing in the air, but the Bielman injury, I think that's going to be the really, you know, replacing him going to be tough.
All right, two more things. I know I keep saying one more thing. Doug, one, I'd like a final score prediction out of you, and two, I would like to know if you can call back on Monday.
Yeah, I'll call back on Monday.
Okay. All right, what's your score? What's your prediction, Doug? We'll mark it down.
Ooh. Okay, Falcons 27, Miami 24.
What did you say again?
24-27.
Yeah. 27-24, Atlanta, that's what you're saying?
Atlanta.
All right,
right.
So, all right, hey, you're giving some respect to the Dolphins. I can appreciate that. All right, Doug, yes, thanks a lot, man. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game.
I'll talk to you Monday.
All right, okay. Very good.
Good luck, Doug.
I like him. Doug
much.
In Atlanta.
But I like him, though.
Some luck.
Yeah, he had a good personality.
Yeah. He wasn't obnoxious at all. No, no. He came on and
he's not a Jet fan. I mean,
Well,
he's a Falcons
fan. And I think we're giving the Falcons respect. We're just looking at the positives of the Dolphins, all the positive matchups that the Dolphins have.
Yeah.
I think if he was listening closely, he knows we're giving the Falcons plenty of respect.
And they deserve it.
And they absolutely deserve it. One of the best teams in the NFL the last several years. I'm looking forward to this game. By the way, Dolphins and the Falcons, kind of like brother franchises in a way. Both came into the leagues, different leagues, but they both came in 1966. The Falcons in the NFL as an expansion team, and the Dolphins in the AFL as an expansion
team. You know the major difference between Atlanta and the Dolphins?
What's that?
They're coming to the skillet, and they play...
You're really pushing that nickname.
And they play in the refrigerator.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. They practice outside, though, don't they? Up
yes,
in Flowery,
flowery Branch. Yeah. Is awful hot.
Beautiful Flowery Branch, Georgia. Finance your next big purchase with a Popular Community Bank home equity line of credit. Popular Community Bank offers flexible terms and low rates. Call 888-317-9062 to apply. We'll take a break when we come back. John Congemi will join us live in studio. We'll talk to him about what he heard today in the Dolphin locker room from the players. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the show. Twan Russell, Keith Sims, and John Congemi has joined us now in studio as well. Talked to him about what he heard in the Dolphins' locker room today. He was just in there. Players finishing up practice this afternoon. The big story right now in the NFL, of course, is the trade between the Dolphins' first two opponents, the Browns and the Indianapolis Colts. Indy sends a first-round pick to Cleveland for running back Trent Richardson. Wild stuff. Dave Rentery on Twitter goes, they say it's not who you play, but when you play them. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Colts would have been a much different team a week ago than what they'll be in a week or two. So funny how that happens. But back to the Dolphins and the Atlanta Falcons. Doug in Atlanta called up, and he's trying to stir it up. I like Doug in Atlanta. I like what he had to say. We've got our answer to Doug in Atlanta, our response, our Dolphin caller response coming up in a couple of moments. That's all I'm going to say.
Saving it.
Okay. We'll get to him. Hang on. We'll get to you, and we'll let you respond. John, locker room, late day in the Dolphin locker room. Players have a day off tomorrow. I imagine that must be a nice thing for them.
Yeah, it was pretty much a ghost town. You know, after a couple minutes in there, everybody got their stuff together and got out of there. But it was a positive vibe still. You know, middle of the week, trying to get that day off tomorrow and get their legs up under them for Friday, a light workout then, a walkthrough on Saturday. But got to talk to a couple offensive linemen today, Mike Pouncey being one of those guys, Richie Incognito, and then John Jerry, a big matchup going up against his brother this Sunday, the first time in the regular season. And those guys all had a sense of confidence, but they didn't want to underestimate their opponent. And they know, you know, they have money in the bank because they go on the road and they win two road games, which is very hard to do back-to-back and get a road win anytime during the NFL season. But those guys really wanted to focus on this week. No matter who was playing for Atlanta, it doesn't matter. It's a quality team that came so very close to getting into the Super Bowl, and that's the team that they're going up against. No matter if Bierman's out and Weatherspoon's out and Roddy White may be nicked up and Steven Jackson's not there and Asante Samuels didn't practice today, they want to focus on the Miami Dolphins, that this team isn't to the point where they can worry about other people. They have to worry about themselves. And just like the running game improved from week one to week two, there's still a lot of things on both sides of the football, guys, that need to be cleaned up if they're going to beat a team that should challenge in the NFC at the end of the year.
John, what's the mood of the players in the locker room about coming home and playing in front of their home crowd for the first time in regular season? You know, preseason, they were on the road for the first three games and finally got to come home. Now this is for real. Are they excited about the potential sellout and having that home field advantage back in the skillet?
Yes, they are. I heard that nickname. Is that going to stick, Tuan?
Was
that,
come on now. Skillet. Don't encourage him.
Skillet.
Yeah, it's not on Twitter yet, so that's a good thing. You know, you're right, though, Keith. A lot of the guys did talk about the excitement of coming back to Sun Life Stadium. Mike Pouncey, for one, you know, just knowing that, you know, getting chills when they run out and hear that crowd. They want that home field advantage on Sunday. They want to be able to go out and feel good about what they've done and what they're going to do on Sunday. And Mike Pouncey talked about, you know, he's not out in the malls. And Richie talked about, hey, I'm not out for dinner a lot. I don't get to hear the fans. But they feel it. They know the excitement that can happen on Sunday. And they just want to go out and make, you know, Sunday another good performance, come away with a victory, and appreciate what the fans will give them on game day.
John, early in the show, someone asked, you know, what makes this 2-0 Dolphins different than the, I think it was the 2010 2-0 Dolphins. From your perspective, what do you see this different?
Talent. I see a lot more talent on this football team. I see a lot more talent at key positions. You can look at quarterback. You can look at cornerback. You can look at defensive line depth. You can look at linebacker speed and the team speed on defense. You can look at a weapon at kicker from any distance. You can go up and down this roster, and Mike Wallace, a guy that can break a game wide open, consistency in the receiving core, depth there, all around, top to bottom. You can go along the coaching staff and the way the culture has changed with the Miami Dolphins in this organization. I think that over the last couple of years since that season when they went 2-0 to start off at Buffalo and at Minnesota, I think there's a lot more talent on this football team that can challenge the good teams, the great teams around the NFL. It's just budding now. And you start the right, you know, in the right direction going 2-0. But I think that's the bottom line. Talent on the football field on Sundays wins games, not anything else. So if you have talent and you have more than the other guy, normally you're going to win that football game.
Hey, John, let's focus on the linebacking core for a second. Wheeler and Ellerby have been so good. Obviously, Wheeler was up for AFC Defensive Player of the Week this past week after this great performance against Indianapolis. But one Achilles heel that we've heard around here for many years has been covering that tight end. We still see it seems to be a little bit of a problem, and we have arguably the greatest tight end to ever play in the NFL coming into Sun Life Stadium on Sunday. Have the players addressed that yet, and how do you think they stop a guy like Tony Gonzalez?
I'm sure that the coaching staff has addressed that, and Coach Philbin addressed that during his weekly press conference. Every day he's talked about the space that over the middle. He believes that the scheme and they have the players on this football team that can take care of that. But Tony Gonzalez is a different type of tight end. He can get open even when he's covered. You know, this is a guy that has sure hands. He's got all those years of experience to know when to settle down, when to idle down in the hole, when to step on the gas. And he has a veteran quarterback that can put footballs in the right places. Even though you have him covered, he'll throw that tight end or that wide receiver wide open. So, Keith, it's going to be a big challenge, not only with the tight end presence, but with Harry Douglas in the slot. He's a complement to Gonzalez because they can work in tandem.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, you have Gibson in the slot and you have Clay in the slot. And when they're going, they can work in tandem like they did against the Cleveland Browns. So I think it's more than a one-headed monster for Atlanta. I think the key is pressure. If you can get Matt Ryan to throw the football when he's uncomfortable, or maybe a count early so he doesn't have that extra second to go from number one to number two, that'll be the key for the Miami Dolphins, how they can pressure the pocket and maybe close the cushion down the middle of the football field.
Good stuff with John Kingemi. All right, a few minutes ago, Doug in Atlanta called in, and he was respectful trash talk, I think is the way to put it, for the Falcons. And one of our most dedicated listeners and callers, Wayne in Pensacola, he wants a chance to answer Doug in Atlanta. Wayne, it's been too long, man. What do you got?
Well, I tell you what, I really like Doug. I know he's a true Falcon fan, but I think you've been listening too much ESPN. I don't understand how he figures Matt Ryan's going to air out when he's laying on his back. That's what I ain't got figured out. But my prediction of the score is Miami 30, Atlanta 20.
Okay. Wayne's got a 10-point victory, Wayne in Pensacola. We now have a duel that has opened up.
Is it 27-24 that Doug had?
In the northern outpost.
For Atlanta?
Yeah. It's one prediction from Doug, 27-24. Falcons, Wayne comes back with a 30-20 win for Miami.
It's only a matter of time till Troy Stratford hands out his prediction this week, isn't it? Now?
We got to keep that from
and
happening.
Based on Troy, let's...
We'll hope he's an Atlanta fan this week.
That's what I hope so, yeah.
We don't need any part of that. By the way, maybe the best response on Twitter I've seen to the trade so far between the Colts and the Browns. Browns came from Andy. He said the Colts are using retail therapy to cope with the loss to the Dolphins. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. That's not bad at all. All right, we got to take a break, come back. We'll do some chat's choice. Thanks, John. We'll check in with Tristan and remind everybody, too, that we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Sunday's game in the final segment of the show coming up. You can also sign up for the Fin Club, then check back every Wednesday to find out what you could win from Win It Wednesdays. It's all free. Go to finclub.miamidolphins.com. The chat's choice and a ticket giveaway when we come back. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Time now for the injury report presented by Doctors Hospital, the official wellness provider of the Miami Dolphins. We'll start with the Falcons since we have their official injury report. Steven Jackson with his hamstring, of course, has already been ruled out. Tackle Sam Baker has a knee and a foot. He did not practice today. As John mentioned, neither did cornerback Asante Samuel, who's got a thigh, and Roddy White, who's got an ankle. I would expect to see Roddy White in the game, but still limited today. Julio Jones went full go, but he does have a reported knee injury for the Dolphins. Chris Clemens off to the side for the portion of practice open to the media. Paul Soliai was not there. The good news, both Jamar Taylor and Will Davis, the rookie cornerbacks, were practicing, both of those guys fighting some injuries. So there you go. That's a look at the injury report on this Wednesday. Team will take the day off tomorrow before wrapping up the practice week on Friday. Time now for the chat's choice. Here's what they're voting on, gentlemen, and what we have the opportunity to talk about based upon their vote. Usage of Lamar Miller, weaknesses of the Falcons, Derek Shelby, Falcons wide receivers versus Finn's defensive backs, Falcons front seven versus Dolphins offensive line, and of course the silly Bills. 29% Lamar Miller, 33% wide receivers versus DBs. They're still duking it out there. We'll give it a couple of minutes, but a lot of texts coming in talking smack to Doug in Atlanta. I like it. I like the guy from the other team listening. Wouldn't it be funny if Doug worked in the front office for the Falcons? He's just trying to get a little scouting report, something like that.
He just got fired.
Fair enough. Probably not. By the way, right on cue, the injury report showed up in my inbox. So we'll do that while they vote. Clemens and Soliai, they say, do not practice. Today, players who are limited, Will Davis, Pat Devlin, Koumissi, Dimitri Patterson, Ryan Tannehill, who's got a right shoulder, Jamar Taylor, and Jimmy Wilson. People are going to freak out because that's the first time we've seen Tannehill's name on the injury report this season. But I'm not worried. I'll say that. Full participation in practice. Danelle Ellerbe, Nate Garner, John Jerry, Deion Jordan, Mike Pouncey, and Olivier Vernon. So, hey, it's week three. The injuries start to pile up. And obviously, the only ones you really got to concern yourselves with are the ones that are going to keep guys from playing. And Clemens, Soliai, those would be the ones I'd really keep an eye on the next couple of days with the Miami Dolphins. All right, chat's choice. They've had time to vote now. The winner is, with 35% of the vote, Falcons wide receivers versus Finn's defensive backs. And certainly this conversation carries over from that injury report, because will Chris Clemens be available? If not, is it Jimmy Wilson who starts at safety? And then is Dimitri Patterson available? Because if not, all of a sudden Jimmy Wilson was your nickel guy last week. You almost want to say you can't be down both Patterson and Clemens. One of those guys has to go. It'll mean either Nolan Carroll in the slot or Jimmy Wilson in the slot, depending. But it's going to be a challenge for this Dolphins secondary, but they're not at it alone. Those guys in the front seven, they can help stop those wide receivers.
And I think that's where the defensive back, you know, Sam Madison always says that defensive back's best friend is that defensive line, that pass rush, and he had that special relationship with Zach and Jason, and they fed off each other. And I think this is a week where the secondary is going to need the Dolphin defensive line and Cameron Wake and Deion Jordan, Olivier Vernon, Randy Starks, and you know, Audric, those guys to step up and put constant pressure on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is a traditional big pocket passer that wants to stay in there, wants to do his reads. They know where he's going to be. They don't have to worry about an Andrew Luck type quarterback where he's going to get out and run too much. Yeah, Matt can run a little bit, but most guys can, punters can chase him down if they need to be. So it's one of those situations where I think the secondary, we need as many healthy bodies as we can, because chasing Roddy White and Julio Jones and Tony Gonzalez is a monumental task. But the way they can do it is by getting that pressure on Matt Ryan and not allowing him to have the time, and not allowing those guys to run double routes and double moves like that, and use their athletic ability to beat our DBs one-on-one.
Well, like I've said also, I mean, our defensive line is playing so well that is truly the equalizer, Keith, and I do agree with you on that. And then the emergence of Nolan Carroll, just to be able to play so solid, be able to play so dominating as a guy coming off the bench, been playing very well. Yes, I mean, I would be concerned if you're telling me that Chris Clemens can't play. But my guess, you know, he's probably going to play. He's a competitor. He's a strong guy, strong will guy. But I'll take our secondary over. I'll take our secondary and our D line over their wide receivers any day. And I know they have Julio Jones and Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez and Matt Ryan. And I know they have those four guys that can make a difference. But when you have four guys getting off the – when you have four defensive linemen getting off the ball, you know, getting after the quarterback, you have Olivier Vernon, you have Philip Wheely, you throw him in the mix with the way he's been blitzing, you know, last week, mm-hmm. even though he plays linebacker. I mean, now you're bringing four or five guys into the mix. We're going to get after Ryan. Ryan's going to have to make a decision. He's going to throw it quick, potentially get a pick, or he's going to take a sack. And I take those odds every day.
Looks good. Sounds good to me. Let's go over to the Metro PCS Comment Center. Tristan has been chatting with everybody. We want to give special recognition to Tuna Finside Up. I want to make sure that he gets mentioned.
You know what? I'm going to give special recognition to him because he asked a question. Maybe you guys can answer it for him.
Maybe.
Because
you know
he's
what?
Sensitive.
I'm glad we're getting to his question. You know, you said he's sensitive. I wasn't going to say that.
He is.
But he does get a little sensitive
like
in there.
Cry sensitive?
He just gets offended easily. Yeah. He isn't as, say, lighthearted as the rest of us with everything. He takes everything
very
seriously.
It's a very
seriously.
Serious thing to him.
Very. Okay.
This show and this chat. And
he gets personally offended.
Right. When we don't treat it with the seriousness that he thinks it deserves, he gets a little bit upset. So I'm
talking
glad,
about his mama?
I'm glad we're going to have the opportunity to try and answer his
Me
question.
Me too. So
it's a good question, you're saying?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I just said we'll get to one of his questions. He says, I'm not too confident in our new linebackers during coverage. Is that any cause for concern for you guys?
Well, we haven't seen them do a ton of it. You know, we haven't. Now, that said, they both came in with a reputation of being able to do it. Wheeler, you know, they say, hey, he blitz, he can run with a tight end. I mean, they're both really good athletes. Philip Wheeler is not built like what you think a linebacker is going to be. I mean, he's just a freak athlete. It'll be interesting. You know, it's funny. When Rashad Jones was in here, we were getting questions. Hey, ask him about covering Tony Gonzalez and how he thinks he can do. I don't know what the Dolphins' plan of attack is with Tony Gonzalez. They obviously know, but they're not going to share that with us. Is it going to be a safety thing? Is it going to be a linebacker thing? Is it going to be a DB thing? Is it going to be a combination, you know, thing? Is it going to be zone? Is it going to be man? Tuan, you're my linebacker here. I mean, there are a bunch of different angles they can take, and there's nothing to say they won't try a few different things over the course of the game.
This is a challenge that Atlanta has. They have to decide, are they going to protect their quarterback or are they going to throw to their tight end? And that's the reason why you haven't seen a lot of tight end throws in the last couple of games, because our defensive line is so dominating that a lot of guys go max protect. They keep the tight end in the block. So a lot of teams have to make a decision. You know, do we want to go one-on-one with a linebacker, or do we want our quarterback to end up in the hospital?
Fair enough.
Out of the skillet into the stretcher, huh?
Very nicely done. Let's go ahead and give away a pair of tickets. How about that? I just got to say, I hope Tuna Finside Up wins the tickets, because maybe that'll make his day a little bit better. Caller 7 right now to 1-8-555-GO-FINS. Caller 7 to 1-8-555-GOFINS. Hopefully it's Tuna Finside Up, but it's an open competition. Caller 7, 1-8-555-GO-FINS wins the tickets to Sunday's game. It's time for our final thoughts.
The fastest 2 minutes in the show.
Mr. Sims.
As everyone knows and can tell if you've listened to the show, I'm very excited about the home opener, and I just want to encourage all the fans to come out, be loud and proud, and we're on the cusp of something great potentially happening this year. 2-0, we need your help. We need your voice. Turn the skillet up hot and heavy Sunday afternoon. Make this home field advantage real for the Dolphins. I'll see you there.
I'm going to change it up just a little bit. I got 40 kids over in Plantation who have been busting their butts this year. And we have so many coaches and parents so proud of them. And they have a big game this week against one of their big rivals, PPO. And it's going to be an exciting day. And, you know, parents, make sure that you get your kids involved in athletics, football, whatever that sport is, because it changes their lives, and we've seen these young men transform over the course of the year.
That is very, very nice of you, and a lovely sentiment. I would just like to echo Keith's thoughts. I'm fired up about Sunday. I really am. Remember, tweet hashtag I'm there, and then you go to dolphins.com/I'm there. You get an opportunity to see everybody who has said, I will be part of the home field advantage on Sunday. It's going to be hot, it's going to be humid, and it's going to be loud and a lot of fun. Really, really excited about this game on Sunday. Hope to see a bunch of you guys out there. Try and give away some more tickets tomorrow and Friday. How about that? And we'll do the whole show over again tomorrow, 5 o'clock, right here on 940 Winds and Dolphins.com.